today on The Journey.
Every Christian community must realize that not only do the weak need the strong, but also the strong cannot exist without the weak. The elimination of the weak is the death of fellowship.
Being bound together in the body of Christ doesn't just happen. The chain links that interlock us to one another must be carefully fashioned on the anvil of life and living. So today, Ron Moore outlines the forging processes that will help to create an unbreakable bond in your church. Just before that, I want you to note Ron's joyful holiday publication titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. Within its pages, you'll find thoughts and activities to make this Christmas the most meaningful and uplifting ever. Advent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Community, How Does It Work? On The Journey.
We're involved in a series of sermons we've simply titled Community. And we're working to understand what it really means to do life together. What difference does it make in our life to be involved in a community? And what difference can it make if we do community really, really well? In order to address this question, how does community work? Today we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. And most of those passages contain a two-word phrase, one another. Inherent in the one another is a community essential of doing life together. Now, there are a number of one another passages in Scripture. And again, I want to go through and just look at these and draw from those passages four community non-negotiables. In your car, there are four tires, right? And every one of those tires had to be pumped up, ready to roll. One flat tire didn't allow you to move forward. So let's think of these four non-negotiables as tires to move the community forward. Here's the first one. Meeting together. Meeting together. Now, I know that's a Captain Obvious statement. My daughter, Laura, whenever I say something less than profound at home, she says, well, thank you, Captain Obvious. What else do you have to tell me? So I know that's a Captain Obvious statement. We got to meet together. But gathering together in large groups or small groups, taking place in homes or here, you got to do community together. I start with that obvious statement because there are some believers, and you know who they are, who already said, we don't need that. I'm going to do this thing on my own. They're already doing that in 60 AD. So the writer of Hebrews gave this exhortation, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Meeting together takes sacrifice. You cannot boat all summer or ski all winter or sleep in the rest of the time and meet together. It just doesn't happen. Part of our vacation, we were at the beach, and I have to confess to you, we did not go to church on Saturday night or Sunday. Please don't tell the elders. We slept in, we had coffee, we read the paper, went for a run on the beach, came back, had some more coffee, sat on the deck, enjoyed the sights and sounds of the ocean. It wasn't even noon yet. And I looked at Lori and said, man, you can kind of get used to this. I mean, I didn't even want to come this morning, but Lori made me. Kidding. I'm kidding. Meeting together requires sacrifice. And when we come together, there are five things that need to happen. Here's the first one. Warm and appropriate interaction. Romans chapter 16, greet one another with the holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 16, greet one another with the holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13, greet one another with the holy kiss. And 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with the holy kiss. Now, in that day, a holy kiss was a warm, friendly, and appropriate greeting. We don't do that today, right? It'd be a little weird for us to do that. We shake hands with one another. We let one another know we are glad that person is here. Now, some of you say, you know what? That's not my personality. I'm not an outgoing person. That's fine, but stretch yourself a little bit. Warm and appropriate interaction. Secondly, heartfelt worship. When we come together, Ephesians 5, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Speak to one another. When we sing, we are talking to one another. We are singing to one another. Sometimes together, we are singing the truth of God's word to God himself. God, you are holy, holy, holy. You are Lord God Almighty. We are singing that in one voice to God, together. That's what community does. Sometimes we're singing to each other. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, I'm telling you, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see. And that should encourage each other. As we communicate, I've decided to follow Jesus. I don't know what everyone else is going to do, but I'm going to raise my hand. And I'm going to say, for me, I've decided to follow Jesus. We come and encourage one another by singing together. There's something about that. It's powerful, isn't it? And the more you do that during the week, the better you do it here. And we've always said this, the best thing, the most attractive thing that a non-believer should see are believers worshiping. So when you worship, act like you're enjoying it. You could smile in church. It's okay. Make sure that you are worshiping God in an appropriate way for you, but that others see they believe that. Encourages those around you. Three, biblical instruction. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. I have absolutely nothing worthwhile to say unless it comes from God's word. My opinions do not matter. Small group opinions don't matter. We got to come from God's word. What is God's word teaching us? And so when we come together, biblical instruction has to be critical in that. And so does prayer. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves, the early church, the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then finally, ordinances, baptism, and communion. You cannot baptize yourself. You have to do that in community. You can't make a public statement by yourself. Communion, it's a time when together we hold the bread and the cup. Together we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. We cannot forget that. Those are some essentials in this essential, this tire of meeting together. Now here's the second one. Non-negotiable service. There are several ways that we serve one another in the community. One is we use our spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says that each believer should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's gracious gift in his various forms. If you are a believer, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have at least one, maybe more, spiritual gifts. And Scripture tells you to use that gift to serve others. It's from Scripture. It's a command of God. And we need it in community. You're not contributing to community if you're not using your gift, and the community is suffering because of that. There's a place for you to get involved, your sweet spot, your area of ministry. When you're doing your area of ministry, when you're serving with your gift, you walk away from that energized. You're saying, that was exciting. I can't wait to do it again. We encourage each other. That's another way we serve one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you're doing. We serve each other by carrying one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Life is tough, isn't it? We're going to go through some challenging times. Sooner or later, we're going to need somebody else walking alongside you. Just as Simon of Cyrene carried the cross for Christ, so you're going to need someone to carry your cross, and I'm going to need someone to carry mine. And we need to be interacting in community together so we have that person or that group so that we can carry each other's burdens. Here's another way we serve each other. Provide hospitality to each other. Now, in the New Testament, there were no hotel chains around. So when believers traveled to other cities, they stayed with other believers. The church provided them rooms to stay. 1 Peter says this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Peter probably got word that someone wasn't happy about it, so he says, do it and don't complain about it. Romans 12, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Now, while we don't need to put up other believers as they travel in our town, the gesture of hospitality is still critical as we do community together. Here's a third community non-negotiable: unity. Man, we see this throughout Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, live in harmony with one another. It's a great challenge of community, isn't it? It's a great challenge in the basic community of a marriage. Because we have different personalities, and we have different likes, and we have different desires, and we have different opinions on things. But we've got to do this thing together. We've got to be going the same way, same time, for the same reasons. Unity is critical in the church, in any community. Here are some ingredients of unity. Number one, devotion. Romans chapter 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Commitment. Are you committed to this thing? Are you going to take off when something happens you don't like? Acceptance. Romans 15, 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. We accept a person not for who we want them to be, nor who we think they may become. We accept people for who they are. It's not always easy to do, is it? Accepting people for who they are and where they are at that time. When we do premarital counseling, we always have the couple look at each other and say, okay, if that person next to you never changes, you're going to be okay with that. Because if not, you need to end this thing right now. Well, I like about 80% of him, but 20% is going to change. Don't bet on it. Can you accept people for who they are, not for who you want them to be or think they should be, or because they're not like you? Unity, another ingredient, is honor. Romans 12, 10, honor one another above yourselves. Submission, Ephesians 6, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Unity in community will never work if you have to have your own way all the time. It won't work in marriage. It won't work in family. It won't work in the church. No slander. James says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Be careful with your words. Reckless words, the Proverbs say, pierce like a sword. Romans 14, no passing judgment. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Now, if I go rob a bank, you can come to me and you can say, right here in the Word of God, it says, don't steal. So this is my opinion. You messed up. You robbed a bank. I'm not passing judgment. I'm telling you what God's Word says. But there are a lot of areas that are a little gray. And sometimes we just think we know the intention of someone's heart. How many times do we pass judgment on someone without knowing the whole story? They may have had a really bad day. They may be going through some stuff that we'd be crumbling under. And they say something or do something, and we think we know their heart just like that. Paul says, don't do that. Stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way. I think as believers, sometimes we just need to take a deep breath and give each other the benefit of the doubt. Community is messy enough, and we need to show grace. This is the same grace that God has shown us. Ephesians 4, bear with one another. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Not always going to agree, going to rub each other the wrong way, but we put up with each other. Forgive one another. Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Galatians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Isn't it amazing? Paul always takes us back to who we are and where we were. And he says, hey, remember who you were. Remember what you were doing. Remember how you had your back turned on God for all those years. Remember the life you were living. Remember even now, as a believer, the things you do, the things you say, the things you think that are totally opposite of what God wants you to do, and He forgives you. So how about forgiving each other? Just as Christ forgave you. We're all going to do things that hurt one another. We'll talk about that more next time. Those aren't right things to do, but it's going to happen. If you're not willing to forgive, you're not going to make it in any community. You're not going to make it in your marriage. You're not going to make it in your family. You're not going to make it in the community of the church. Forgive just as Christ forgave you. Humility is the next one. Peter says this, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, live as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Humility is simply not thinking yourself better than someone else. Listen to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says here. This is good stuff. In a Christian community, everything depends upon whether each individual is an indispensable link in a chain. Only when even the smallest link is securely interlocked is the chain unbreakable. Every Christian community must realize that not only do the weak need the strong, but also the strong cannot exist without the weak. The elimination of the weak is the death of fellowship. Now listen to this. If my sinfulness appears to me to be in any way smaller or less detestable in comparison with the sins of others, I am not recognizing my own sinfulness at all. My sin of necessity is the worst, the most grievous, the most reprehensible. How can I possibly serve another person in unfeigned humility if I seriously regard his sinfulness as worse than mine? Would I not be putting myself above him? Could I have any hope for him? Such service would be hypocritical. It's convicting, isn't it? And when we think that, that's not service. Paul made it clear. He said, I am the worst of sinners. And unless we have that attitude, then we never experience true humility. One of the most insidious sins is spiritual pride. And it happens among those who serve great ways in the church. Spiritual pride, that somehow I got it together a little more than others. Unity cannot happen when that's our attitude. One more. The fourth community non-negotiable is love. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Not how much you give. Not where you serve. If you love one another. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, let no debt remain outstanding except, here's one, the continuing debt to love one another. I love the way Paul puts that. Pay your debts. Oh, but there's one you can never pay. You're always in the debt of others to love them. For whoever loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word love, you know, it's in every song, religious or secular for that matter. It just gets a little fuzzy, doesn't it? And what is love? What is that? So let's go to Scripture and find out what it is. 1 Corinthians 13. Agape love is not some fuzzy emotion. Agape love is real rubber on the road. Commitment, hard work, messy. Love is patient. You ever get impatient with each other? Love is kind. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Doesn't envy. Doesn't want what other people have. It doesn't boast. It doesn't have to tell people who you know or what your title is or what you do or where you live. Love is titleless. It's not proud. Spiritual pride, like I said, is an insidious sin that makes us look good and feel good, kills our spiritual life, and kills our community. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't always have to have its own way. It's okay when other people get their way. Some people always have to win. Not a sign of love. It's not easily angered. It gives people benefit of the doubt. It allows for other people to have a bad day, like we have some bad days. Keeps no record of wrongs. A lot of people, many Christians, have a little backpack they carry around, and when they get wronged, they stick it in that backpack. And then when they get wronged by somebody else, they stick it in the backpack. And pretty soon that backpack's full. And they'll let it go. It's a tough way to live. It's a heavy backpack to carry around, isn't it? But love says, I don't have enough time. Life is too short to carry the backpack around. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It doesn't rejoice when another believer falls. It always protects. Love has each other's back. It always trusts. When you trust a person, you can show more grace to them. It always hopes. It always perseveres. It just keeps on. It's a debt we can't pay. Love never fails. When there is love. So how does community work? Well, we have to meet together. And we have to do the appropriate things when we do. We have to serve. We have to go through this thing together, unity. And we have to demonstrate not that fuzzy concept of love, but the First Corinthians love. That's just hard work. Pick and shovel commitment. That's really what community is, isn't it? Pick and shovel commitment. And when we do it, God blesses it.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Does your frantic holiday schedule threaten to push the true meaning of Christmas to the back shelves of your mind and heart? Would you like to recapture the wonder of the season and share it with friends and family? You can do that with Ron's holiday guide titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It shares devotions and activities crafted from carefully selected scripture readings. There, Ron helps you rekindle the anticipation of Christ's first coming and celebrate his joyous arrival on Christmas Day. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, will enrich your spirit this holiday season. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
From the very beginning of community, we see there were challenges. Who created and built the first community we see in the New Testament? Not a trick question. Remember, the right answer to every question is Jesus. And that's the answer to this one. Jesus handpicked 12 men to build into their lives and take the message of the gospel throughout the world. But in that first community where Jesus was there, right in the midst of them, they argued about who was the greatest. All the disciples deserted and fled. Peter, the most outspoken leader of the group, denied Jesus 3 times. So much for community.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It'll give each day of the holiday season joyful meaning as Ron guides you through the Advent calendar. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we want our Pittsburgh area listeners to know about the Bible Chapel's 51st annual Men's Thanksgiving Breakfast. It takes place on Saturday, November the 23rd. Enjoy a hearty breakfast and hear a message from Christian missionary Dan Bauman, who was imprisoned and sentenced to death in Iran for trying to spread the good news. Register at BibleChapel.org. And please remember, the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.